sing, and that will continue at the end of the service as our kids come in and help us close the service with a song with all of us. I know you can't wait, so don't leave. Stay put. We've been talking about the verbs of Christmas, predicting Christmas, presenting Christmas, and then this morning our final verb of Christmas in our series is pronouncing Christmas. Now, I chose that verb on purpose, but I thought there might be a little bit of confusion. It's not about learning how to pronounce Christmas. Okay, like don't say Xmas or Yuletide blessings or winter solstice. It's not about that kind of pronouncing. It's about declaring or announcing Christmas. That's what we're talking about. So Luke chapter 2 is where I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. This is where we will find ourselves this morning. And we're going to be looking at the verb of pronouncing Christmas. I'm sure some of you have had this happen to you. I have even done it myself, where someone comes up to you and says, listen, I have some good news and I have some bad news. Which do you want first? And I've said that myself, and I was thinking about that even last night as I was thinking about introducing the sermon. I was thinking, I would prefer to say, just go to the good news and skip the bad news, right? When someone says something like that, well, I have good news for you this morning. What we're going to talk about as pronouncing Christmas is good news. There's no bad news here. And so we're going to be talking about some good news, and we're going to look at some Christmas pronouncements from three different sources in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse number 8. These are pronouncements of good news. So if you have your Bibles with me, find verse number 8. You can use the Pew Bible if you'd like. Here we go, Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." So pronouncement number one comes from the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. I left you a big blank there to fill in if you'd like. So pronouncement number one comes from the angel of the Lord. And with your Bible still open, you notice in verse number 9 that the shepherds were terrified. In the original language, here's what that word means. They feared a great fear. This wasn't just like they're a little bit uneasy or like, oh, that was a little bit scary. This was really scary for them, as you can imagine, you know, watching the sheep at night, minding their own business, and this doesn't happen ever. And so they have this moment, and so they're terrified. They feared a great fear. And in verse number 10, I consider this humor in the Bible. I do. And the reality of humanity. In verse 10, they are then instructed by the angel of the Lord because they feared a great fear. Do not be afraid. That's funny. That's funny coming from the angel. Do not be afraid because I bring you good news. And here's what I wrote in my notes. Okay, Mr. Angel, who doesn't show up that often, never with us. We're fearing a great fear. We're trembling here. And you tell us, do not be afraid because you have good news. If I'm the shepherds, I'm thinking, this better be good. Really good news. This better be great news because we are really terrified at this moment. And the angel really is implying, I do have good news for you. I have really good news for you that will bring great joy for all the people. One commentary noted that starting in verse 11, that to these lowly shepherds, the angel gives the highest theology. This is great. Do you know that theology can quell our fears? Most of the time we don't put that together. Like, really? Theology works with fear? It does, because theology and doctrine is based on truth. And truth drives out fear. So the angel's going to be like, don't be afraid. Too late. Okay? Don't be afraid, because I have good news for you, and I'm going to tell you some things that are based on the truth of God's promises. And these are the things that are going to be the theology that I give to you that are going to calm your fears. And this theology, this doctrine is incredible for us as well. So in verse number 11, there are several things in verses 11 and 12, several parts of this good news that you might want to jot down because it's just so encouraging to me because we're talking about the pronouncement. And I know, I just want you to know, as we go through these verses, I realize that hundreds, if not thousands, of messages and sermons have been given on this passage. And you were like, why did you skip talking about that part of that verse? It's okay. You can go back and look it up and listen to other people if you want. We're just talking about the declaration of Christmas, the pronouncement of Christmas. So the angel of the Lord says, do not be afraid. I have good news. And starting in verse 11, he says, first of all, that good news includes the timing or the time. Notice that he says in verse 11 that today, that's important because it wasn't good news that was coming, right? I mean, good news is good news, but if someone said, I have really good news to you, and they explained to you, like, that's really great. And you're like, when's it going to happen? Like 8 years from now. It was today. Today, something has happened that's going to impact your life. The good news time is now. Think of all the prophecies leading up to the Messiah that the Jews were hoping for. The year after year, years after years, the generation after generations. And these shepherds would have known about the Jewish promises. And they're saying, that the angel of the Lord is saying to them, today. Yes. I mean, I love good news when it happens that day. Come on, this is good stuff. So the good news included the time. It also included the place. Because he says, today in the town of David, in Bethlehem. Now, why is that good news? Because these shepherds were close by. That means the good news was close. Again, it really isn't very relevant for you and me if someone shares good news about something that's happening around the world that doesn't affect us. Now, maybe you may be happy for other people, but it doesn't really have an impact on us. So he's saying, the angel's saying to them, it's today and it's here. And they're just watching the sheep, you know, just outside of Bethlehem. So the place is pretty important, I would say. That's good news. The time, the place. And then another part of the good news, according to verse 11, includes the person. The person. Notice three things mentioned about the person in verse 11 that is good news for them. First of all, the baby is referred to as the Savior. If you're writing things down, Savior simply means the one who provides salvation. So the angel is telling them, listen up, the one is here. The Savior is here. This baby, he's the one. He's the Isaiah guy. He's the Jeremiah guy. He's the Micah guy. He's the prophet guy. Also, he says that he will be called the Messiah, the chosen one. So if you're writing down descriptions, one is the one who provides salvation, Savior. Then the Messiah is the chosen one. So the one that we've been waiting for, the one that you've been waiting for, shepherds, for years, this is the baby. So this is no ordinary baby. This is part of the good news. And then he says, he's the Lord. Last description, the baby who is being born is the one true master. So I'm combining this all together. I'm going to say it again in case you missed it because I think it's really important. And when I say the one, in my notes I have one capitalized, but I can't say it capitalized. It's not possible to do that. So the idea is Savior, the one who provides salvation. Messiah, the chosen one. And then the Lord, the master. There were other masters, people that were in charge in those days, but this is the Lord, the Kyrios, the master. So far, so good, right? I mean, come on, they're hearing this from the angel of the Lord, the time, the place, the person, then the priority. The priority, look at towards the end of verse 11. A Savior has been born to who? What does it say in verse 11? To you, saying to the shepherds. That's a pretty cool priority, isn't it? It wasn't just saying the baby for the people of the world, the baby for the Jews has arrived. That's true, but he has been born to you. Wait a second. Us? Shepherds? Yes, he's been born to you. There's a priority there that is just, I mean, they're already kind of out there with the whole angel thing. But this priority of being born to you. Shepherds, the baby has been born for you. And then verse number 12 kind of wraps up the good news description that the angel of the Lord gives. Verse number 12, it says, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Here's the final thing about the good news. It's not just the time, the place, the person, and the priority, but it's also the encounter. Sorry, I couldn't think of a P to end that with. The encounter. You know what the angel of the Lord says to them is part of the good news? You're going to see him. Because maybe they're building up with all this. Wow, today he's been born. He's right over there in Bethlehem. And this is who he's going to be, and he's born for us. And, oh, this is so exciting. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to go see him. Wow. What a pronouncement of good news, great news from the angel of the Lord to the shepherds. All of this found in just these two verses, 11 and 12. So pronouncement number one is really good news. It really is. And you would think that that's probably all that the angels could, or not the angels, all that the shepherds could handle. But God's like, no, I'm going to put them on overload. Okay. This first pronouncement was just like the prelude. Because pick up with me in verses 13 and 14, we're going to go to pronouncement number two. Pronouncement number two, it reads, starting in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host. So a great company means a vast number. It literally means an army encampment, like a bunch of soldiers. So the sky is filled. Appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So pronouncement number two comes from a host of angels. One wasn't enough. And I know I'm inferring some of this into the text, but if you allow me for just a moment, I'm trying to picture myself as one of these shepherds out in the fields, watching over their flocks by night, really minding their own business, taking care of the sheep, and an angel comes. Tells them about the time, the place, the person, the priority, the encounter. And they're like, what? And they're like trying to talk to each other, and all of a sudden, poof, 13 and 14 comes. And a host of angels show up. And they say, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, I want to make a statement here, and I want you to follow with me if you would. And it's okay, just work with me here, because we're studying and teaching and learning the Bible together. Some of you, in verse 14, some of your translations might read something like this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's okay. Some of your translations read that way. But I want you to know this, that this particular translation that I just read can lend itself to some misapplication. And here's what I mean. Some have taken that particular application and said that goodwill that's spoken about here applies to all men. And that's not what this is saying. It's not saying that goodwill applies to everybody and everybody gets in. Everybody goes out. That's not what it's saying. Secondly, another misapplication is sometimes that peace with God is a reward for us demonstrating goodwill. And that's not true either. So I don't have a problem with the translation. I just want you to know that sometimes that has been used to misapply what's being said here. So our reading today, the text that we're using, I think it clarifies the giver and process of this peace. Here's what I mean. According to verse 14, peace with God is a gracious gift given to those who are recipients of God's goodwill. Where it says, on whom his favor rests, what do I mean by that? God took the initiative in pursuing peace with us by sending his son Jesus Christ. God's the one who initiated that. Jesus lived a perfect life. His crucifixion paid for the sins of all who would trust in him, and his resurrection guarantees our justification before God. That being said, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the one who gives us peace with God. The idea is we cannot earn it. We don't deserve it. It's not reward given to us, and it's not given to all people. It's given to those on whom his favor rests. It's given to those who, by faith, in humble obedience, give their life to Jesus Christ and trust in him. That's important. And that's what the host of angels is really saying to the shepherds, that God's favor and peace rest upon those who receive God's Son by faith. And that's an important kind of disclaimer to make in this. Because And I'm not saying it's you folks, because you're on top of this whole Bible thing. I love it. You're on top of the whole Bible thing. But there have been some, and even people that are kind of in the secular realm, that would sing these Christmas carols that we sometimes sing, or sing Christmas songs, and they're like, yeah, peace on earth, goodwill to men. But sing it like God is going to bless and is spreading his goodwill to everybody as it relates to Jesus Christ. And that's simply not true. Now, we'll talk about the benefit of Jesus Christ for the world, but the idea of that the goodwill is automatically applied to everybody is not being taught in this verse. And I love what it says at the beginning of verse 14. The host of angels say to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest heaven. Why do they say that? Well, one commentary noted that God's mercy to men brings God's highest glory in heaven. Part of what brings the greatest glory to God, and this should just, it thrills my soul to say this, it should encourage you. One of the things that brings the greatest glory to God in heaven is when people bow their knee before him and accept the gift of Jesus Christ, and that relationship is restored. That brings the highest glory to God in heaven. God chose in his wisdom, I don't know why, because I know what I'm like, but God chose in his wisdom to make heaven a crowded place. He didn't make heaven just for him and the angels and for the Trinity. He decided to invite us into that relationship, into a new heaven and new earth. And I know what I'm like, and I wasn't getting there by any means without help. And the fact that people come to faith in Jesus Christ and embrace what God has sent through him brings God the greatest glory in heaven. So, at this point, come on now. At this point, if you're a shepherd, you're like, I'm done. I need a nap. Right? I mean, this is pretty incredible what's being told to them. So, we have the first two pronouncements. We have the angel of the Lord. Then we have a host of angels. And then the shepherds up to this point have been recipients of the pronouncements. Pronouncement number three, our final one, is going to come from the shepherds. So pick up with me in verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So pronouncement number three, declaration number three, announcement number three about Christmas comes from the shepherds themselves. From the shepherds. And I want to draw your attention for a few moments to verses 17 and 18. 17 and 18. We read there again that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So, it's pretty clear to me that after they encountered the child, the shepherds went out and found whoever they could find and just started telling the story. They went out and started sharing the good news. They started declaring Christmas. Whether it was fellow shepherds, whoever they met along the way, or the streets of Bethlehem, I don't know. But whoever they found, they're declaring the good news. They're sharing the good news. And I love the fact that we are told in verse number 18 that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Because that says to me, they were pretty convincing. It doesn't say that people thought they're out of their mind. Maybe they thought they're, you know, shepherds haven't spending much time outside. But they were amazed at what they were told, because the shepherds were absolutely convinced of this. And they're telling everybody that they know about what that had been told to them. And people are believing it. And then verse number 20. They returned, kind of heading towards the sheep. They're like, oh yeah, we're shepherds. We probably should get back to the sheep. They returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had seen, heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Notice what they do. They return and participate in what I think, I can legitimately say, is the first human Christmas doxology. First human nativity doxology. That's what they're doing. Because the angel had said it, but these are the first human beings going back and praising God for the birth of Jesus Christ. So they're participating in this doxology, glorifying and praising God. Folks, this is important for us. Because of what they encountered and what they were told and what they saw, these shepherds would never, ever be the same again. Never be the same again. The same should be for us. If we've encountered Jesus Christ, we should never be the same again. Never. And they were going to let people know what's going on. And I also want you to note this, because this is the theme throughout the Bible. Whenever you find doxologies in the Bible, which is basically praising God, whenever you find doxologies, they are always based on truth. Because a doxology, some kind of a praise psalm or praise poem or something, if it's not based on truth, it's just words. But a doxology in the Bible is based on truth. So they're excited about sharing this because you know what? They're absolutely convinced in verse 20, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Why? Because they were just as they had been told. They were doing this based on truth. They were going around saying this to people, I believe. I'm just throwing it in there. Hey, the angel was right. The good news was accurate. And the baby was really born. They were sharing not just stories, because I'm sure that shepherds told stories. That wolf was this big, okay? You know, I'm sure shepherds had stories. But they're going around there saying, listen, no. The angel told us exactly what to do, where to go, and we found him. The good news is accurate. The baby was born. Everything they said came true. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. They would have a great story to tell their spouses, their kids, and their grandkids. Now, I get a little jealous about that because that's a pretty cool story. But you know what? I have family. Kids and grandkids, I can tell them about Jesus. I don't have to be a shepherd because it's still based on that same truth, isn't it? So you can still be excited about that. That's okay. You don't have to be a shepherd to do that. So pronouncing Christmas, declaring Christmas, happens through the angel of the Lord and a host of angels and the shepherds. So let me just share with you some take-home truths as it relates to this particular message. Some take-home truths. Number one, the angel's pronouncement to the shepherds is clear proof that Jesus was sent to the earth for everyone's benefit. Amen for that. What's the definition of everyone? Everyone. Wow. See, live stream, do you get that? They said everyone, okay. Or all people, okay. So, go back in your mind just a moment to verse number 11, those three words, born to you. And what we talked about, the shepherds saying, he was really born to you, like born for us? Yes. Why would that matter to the shepherds? Because in the first century culture, they were not always the most respected of groups in the first century. As a matter of fact, some of them, because of the work that they did and just kind of the being out in the outdoors and just some of the things that they had to do, some of them were not allowed to be involved in certain temple worship practices, and they were kind of limited in their religious activities because they were shepherds. Some people looked upon shepherds as being untrustworthy and viewed them as thieves. And so they weren't always received or looked upon in a great light here. But think about it this way. If you were recruiting someone to receive and then announce the arrival of the Messiah, the shepherds would have been some of the last people on your list. But the outsiders quickly became the insiders on what God was up to on the other side of the hill in Bethlehem. He chose them. Born to you. God decided to make a statement about who would receive the good news first. And it was shepherds. And there's no way that it's not implied in there. There's the proof that Jesus Christ came for everyone's benefit. He was even born for shepherds, born to you. What does that mean for us? Because I don't think we have any shepherds here. Now, some of you may have sheep. We can talk about that later. But I don't know if any of you are shepherds. But what does that mean for us? Born to you meant a lot to the shepherds. How about born to you as it relates to our culture? Well, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came to earth for everyone's benefit, which would include the rich and the poor. Yes? And in between, the common and royalty. Democrat and Republican. Come on now. Everyone's benefit. Soul searching. He came for the single and the married. He came for the homeless and the addicted. He came for the respected and the rejected. Did he not? Born to you. Let's break this down even further. Born to you. He came for me. I found my biography verse in the Bible. Here it is. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Which means he was born for my benefit too. And for you. Yay. So if you're here and you've never come to faith in Christ. 2,000 years ago. Born to you, the angel said. I'm saying to you today. Born to you. Come to faith in Christ. There is no one here or listening who is outside the reach of Christ's love, or who is in a position of not needing Christ's love, which means no one's too bad and no one's too good. We're all bad. Take home number two. The heavenly host pronouncement confirms that peace with God is only available through faith in Christ. I mentioned this before, but it's worth just saying again. It's really important. We need, everyone in this room and everyone listening, we need peace with God because our sin has positioned us as enemies before God and in rebellion to his holiness. That's simply the way it is. We are in rebellion to God because he is holy, we are not. So our sin places us as enemies before him. We are at conflict with God. We are actually at war with God because of our sin. But the Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God means that our great sin debt has been paid and God sees us righteous when we place our faith in Christ. So that we are no longer enemies, but we are children of God. And that his holy nature can have fellowship with us because he sees us in Christ. And that only happens because this pronouncement tells us that the good favor and the peace of God rests on those who will place their faith in Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. That's the only way. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. So again, think about, have you placed your faith in Christ alone? That's the only option. And then number three, I'm going to cough and I'm going to... The shepherd's pronouncement reminds us to keep Christ as the focus of Christmas. What did they do after they heard about the good news of the birth? Did they go decorate their house? No. They go to Target and get like, oh, we didn't have enough gifts. They didn't do that. I know I'm being facetious here. But the idea is, I'm just reminded, let's make sure we're keeping Christ as the focus of Christmas. And you're like, don't Christians already do that? We do, but not always as best as we could. Let me give you some suggestions, those of you that are closing your Bibles thinking we're almost done. No, we are. What does that mean? What did they do to keep Christ as the focus of Christmas? They went out and told people about what had happened. They praised God. So that should be our speech even more so this time of year. This is the time that people are listening more to the gospel. We should be saying it right now, talking more about the focus of Christmas. How about our yards? Your yard should not be Grinch. Just saying. If it is, give me your address. I'll get a BB gun and we'll just take care of that right away. I will be Grinch in your life. Because Christ is the focus of Christmas. You think I'm kidding. So you're like... Here's another way we can be focusing on Christ in this Christmas time. How about inviting people? Christmas Eve services, Christmas Day service, invite some people. Why? Because you're like shepherds going, you got to come. I got to tell you what happened. This is awesome. Yeah. How about your own personal testimony? They told people what had happened to them, what the angel said. Many of you have been touched by Jesus Christ. You focus on him in Christmas by telling people what he did for you. You can also practice even more kindness. We should be known for our kindness during Christmas time. How about our priorities? Let's make sure those are in check. It's not about the number of gifts and how much money we spent and all those kind of things. Come on. We know, right? I'm not like Scrooge. I'm just saying, let's keep our priorities right. And then just a pastoral thing here at the end. Next week is Sunday, right? And Sunday is God's set apart holy day. And it's Christmas. Yeah, you should be here. Yeah, come on now. Pam and I were talking about this. We decided we might just take it off. We should take Christmas off, you know. It's a holiday. It's a paid holiday. Isn't it a paid holiday? I think I checked with the deacons. It's a paid holiday. It just happened to be on a Sunday. Come on now. Just saying. All right.